The Recap on Top Sport with Michael Abramson.
23 minutes after 7 on this Monday evening. I'm going to repeat the quiz question for you one more time. I think I've got a lot of you stumped. I've got one answer that has come in. In fact, a couple of answers saying the same thing by the looks of things. Also, a very nice message from Leon. He says, for Top Sport, Michael, thanks for your encouragement. I exercise before the show. Good man, Leon. Good to hear that. I exercise after the show, as it happens. I normally try and get into the pool even for half an hour when I end the show. And today I spent 3.5 hours in the gym. So I'm pleased that something that I say on the show is helping you in your day-to-day life and helping you to, as they say in Spanish, estar en buena forma, which means to be in good condition. So fantastic. Good luck to you and keep doing what you're doing because it really, really does help. I don't think I could live my lifestyle with all the hectic things that go on in my life without having that exercise and being fit and eliminating all the bad habits, or as many as I can. The quiz question for tonight. There are only 5 clubs who hold a unique record with regard to the FA Cup. 4 of them are Aston Villa, Liverpool, Tottenham and Chelsea. Who is the 5th club and why? A lot of you saying Arsenal for different reasons. So I'm not going to tell you if that's right or not. But the clubs are Aston Villa, Liverpool, Tottenham, Chelsea and one other club. I want to know who is that other club and why. What is the unique record that those 5 clubs would hold? If you know the answer, get hold of us. A lot of you are saying Arsenal. One or two saying Man City also. So we'll see. Could be one of those. Could be something from left field. We'll give you the answer later on in the show, provided at least one of you gets it right. If you don't, if nobody gets it right tonight, then I will give you a bit of a clue and keep the question going this week and give you another chance. Anyhow, let's talk cricket now. And there's so much happening as far as the ICC trophies, Champions Trophy is concerned. The tournament nearing its end. The 12 round robin matches have been completed. Some of them weren't even played because of rain, but the groups have been sorted out. And it's India, New Zealand, South Africa and Australia who've made it through to the last 4. To unpack all of that with us and to look ahead to 2 exciting days of semi-final action, let's hope the weather plays ball. We're joined by one of our favorite cricket correspondents on the show, Kevin Rademeyer. Kevin, good to have you back. Good evening.
Good evening, Michael. Great to be back.
And congratulations to you for your team's win. I was at gym the other day. We had a look at the results and I saw that you had a home win against one of your potential relegation rivals. So great news for you. I just wish soccer matches ended after 95 minutes and not 96 minutes.
You're correct. Finally, Luton won a game, believe it or not. First time that the new manager has won in 9 matches, so that's brilliant. And yes, I was watching your Norwich as well. Thought you won it at the end there in injury time, just to lose it with a second last kick. So you must have been devastated.
I cried.
But, I cried for you.
Thank you very much, but it's there's still hope because the next 3 or 4 matches are all winnable, so we'll see what happens. Friday night at home to Oxford could be an interesting one, so hopefully my team will unleash all their pent-up frustration on poor Oxford. We'll see how that goes.
And what's worse was it was against a 10-man. A guy got sent off, obviously, from the opposition with 5 minutes to go, so they let a goal in against a 10.
I know. It's shocking. Don't rub it in. But it's actually the second time Emmanuel Dennis has been sent off against us. Once playing for Watford and now playing for Blackburn. So yeah. I don't know what he did. Anyhow, let's talk cricket because there's so much to talk about. The semi-finals have been sorted out. We were hoping when we chatted last week that South Africa would avoid India in the semi-finals. They've done that. India, many people are saying India could have thrown the match yesterday. It didn't seem to be at all in their thoughts. They just wanted to put one over their opponents, put one over New Zealand in case those sides clash again later in the tournament. So it's India against Australia tomorrow and it's South Africa against New Zealand on Wednesday. Just talk to me about those combinations, how they've panned out and what you anticipate might happen.
Correct. Last time we actually spoke, it was before the Australian match. We didn't know the rain was going to come. And we were hoping to try and just get through to the semi-finals. I backed, obviously, New Zealand and India to go through from Group A. I had New Zealand and India, and I had Australia from Group B together with England. I thought England's experience would come through and we would fall away. Thank goodness the 25% that I was wrong was South Africa. And we did actually play amazing cricket against England as well. So that sets it up beautifully, like you say. Australia versus India, who is probably at this moment the biggest rivalry in cricket, and South Africa versus New Zealand. And both of those teams have had, what should I say, the worst fortune when it comes to knockouts in ICC cricket tournaments.
Kevin, a lot has been made about all the travel arrangements that Australia and South Africa, after their matches, had to fly to Dubai just in case they would face India tomorrow. And then Australia stayed there. India have been there throughout the tournament. But then South Africa came back just over 24 hours later. New Zealand have had to fly from Dubai to Lahore to go and play, or to Karachi rather, to go and play their semi-final on Wednesday. So there's been a lot of flying, a lot of flying miles. India, the one constant, they've stayed where they are. How much of an advantage does it give them?
If you remember the very first talk we had about the Champions Trophy, I said to you, people aren't talking about it yet, but they will talk about it later on.
Yes,
they haven't had to travel. They've been sitting in their hotels on their sun lounges. Dubai is also a very friendly tourist city, so they're able to go out. The Proteas, while they've been in Pakistan, haven't left their hotel rooms. They are allowed to go out and they're allowed to play golf, but they haven't taken that opportunity. So Heinrich Klassen was saying today, they actually saw it as a bit of an advantage to go to Dubai, spend 18 hours and turn around, because three players got to play some golf, the rest got to walk around a little bit and see outside their hotel rooms. So possibly we can see the advantages. We must also consider, and that's what you said, New Zealand also, they had to travel from Pakistan, go play in Dubai in different conditions. They left this morning 4 a.m. back to Pakistan. They got to their hotel, I think, around about 9:30 in the morning, having no sleep either. So it's not perfect for New Zealand. It's not perfect for South Africa. Definitely wasn't even perfect for Australia. So if India don't win with this massive advantage, I think the world will be shocked.
Indeed. So New Zealand and South Africa both flying, some of them in the same direction, some in opposite directions. That semi-final, incidentally, is in Lahore. I've just checked, and not Karachi. So I suppose an advantage of some sort, then, given the fact that South Africa have played all their matches in the group stage in Pakistan. They haven't had to travel and play in Dubai as yet in the tournament, and unbeaten so far, whereas New Zealand have had to play in Dubai and suffer their first loss in ages, because, of course, they won all those matches in the warm-up tournament. They have been going pretty well as far as this tournament is concerned. So yesterday's their first loss in quite a while.
It was their first loss, and they were actually exceptionally well. They got to a great start against India, got three quick wickets, another blinder of a catch from Phillips to get out Kohli. And they were looking good. But the pitch swung a lot more, which it hasn't happened in Dubai yet. The ball started swinging in the evening. And the spinners, well, the ball started holding up for the spinners. Chakrabarti got five wickets against 36. We also struggled against him. And the only real defense was Tony Williamson with 81. But it is difficult in Dubai, coming from Pakistan, where it's better friendly pitches into those conditions. It's not easy, and now they have to go back to Lahore, and like you say, with the travel, also come back and get the new conditions again.
Kevin, bizarre situation. We're three matches away from completing the tournament. We still don't know in which country, never mind which city, but in which country the final is going to be played. I mean, that's got to be unique.
It is crazy, and you're correct. If India win tomorrow against Australia, then we know it will be in Dubai. If they lose, then at least we know the final will be in Lahore. So by the time we start our game on Wednesday, we'll have a bit of certainty. And if Australia do beat India, at least we will already be in Lahore, played our semi-final there, and more used to the conditions than Australia.
But how do the organisers plan for a situation where the final could essentially be in two completely different venues in terms of selling tickets? I mean, the logistics sound quite scary.
Logistics are crazy. The last couple of tournaments run by the ICC, in my opinion, haven't been brilliant either, including the last World Cup in the Caribbean, which was a logistical nightmare, not only for the players, for spectators, for media. And they'll have to pull this off, and they've got very few days. And that's why this travel has been an issue because they need to play the first semi-final tomorrow in Dubai for a bit more certainty, which meant that South Africa and Australia both had to travel there. If they could have that second semi-final the day after the one in Lahore, things would have been a little bit different. But it's going to be a logistical nightmare either way. Hopefully the ICC have it under control and hopefully at least it's a sellout for the final.
Eric Claassen was saying today that since he's been in the national team, South Africa have done pretty well in ICC tournaments. They experienced in terms of being able to negotiate their way through knockouts. They've been in a few finals of late, not only in the men's team, but the ladies' team as well, have been able to negotiate a semi-final fairly recently. So he says the nerves are not going to play as big a part as they might have played a few years ago. How much of a key factor is that going into the match on Wednesday?
One thing we can say about the Proteas is they do have a lot of experience on their side. Now, a few years ago, we were struggling to get to knockouts. We were struggling to get to semifinals. When we got to the semifinals, we got not that there. We went one hurdle further to the T20 World Cup final. Should have won that, 95% probability of winning it, and then it all went wrong. These players also play all across the world. They're used to Pakistan conditions, they're used to Indian conditions, they're used to playing these New Zealand players, even a lot who came to the SA20. I don't think the nerves will be there. However, it's easy to say that now. Once that changes to expectations, once it looks like we can be in another final, and if we do get to the final, expectations changes pressure, expectations change everything again. And then we'll see. Like people say, they think they'll take the pressure or they'll handle stuff until something actually happens and it's in that situation. What did Mike Tyson say? Everyone's got a plan until you get punched in the face.
Yeah,
and that's pretty similar in those key moments.
What odds could you have got when we were discussing the tournament and previewing it together on a tournament taking place and England and Pakistan between them not winning a single match?
Well, let's look at it. Remember, Pakistan came to South Africa and they whitewashed us 3-0. England, on the other hand, came in with very poor form. I really thought, like I said earlier today, is that their experienced players, the full salt, the butlers, the roots, would pull it through for them. They just didn't do it. Pakistan, their form deserted them at home, and the last match was rained out. But anything can happen in these ICC competitions, and luckily, the four form teams are in the semi-finals. Australia themselves have been rained out the last two games as well. So they come in as an unknown factor. They had a great victory against England, but haven't really been tested since either. But it's going to be so exciting.
Yeah, Kevin, you make an excellent point about Australia. I mean, they haven't played a competitive match for the better part of 2 weeks now. And they're playing against an Indian side who were in action yesterday and had a very, very good win over an informed team themselves. So is that an advantage in terms of being able to rest and from an Australian point of view? Or is it more, I think more meaningfully, a significant disadvantage that they haven't had middle practice for a long, long time and they're up against the side who are expected to win the tournament?
Well, I believe you want to have momentum going into this. They've lost their first three and their frontline paces, their fast bowlers. So there's some new young blood in it. They haven't been in a semi-final yet of an ICC tournament. Now you're going to Dubai, where India are most probably going to play four spinners. The pitch will be turning. Sharma, the captain of India, tried to say, look, it's a neutral venue. They don't play a lot in Dubai. All the pitches are different in Dubai itself. It's difficult for them as well, but I don't think anyone's buying.
Yes.
If you've been sitting in one place, not traveling, having a nice venue, having momentum, like you said, playing yesterday in a very tough game, a competitive game against New Zealand, I believe all the momentum is with them.
And Dubai is a really beautiful city to be able to visit. As you say, there's so much to do, to be able to get out of your hotel and go out and have a lot of fun between games, whereas in Pakistan, maybe a little bit different for the teams that are there. So, Kevin, let's look ahead to these matches tomorrow. You've mentioned that India have a lot of the advantage. Chakravarti, we saw just how good he was when he played in South Africa at the start of the summer. He bamboozled a lot of our batters, and he seems to be in great form, a 5-wicket haul yesterday, and he's just one of a number of quality spinners that India have. Australia's bowling, as you've mentioned previously on the show, missing a couple of key elements to it. Is that going to be the difference at the end of the day?
I think the big difference will be who wins the toss, and let me just give you a stat here. In terms of the spinners, in the first innings in Dubai, the spinners have averaged 42.22 per wicket at a run rate of 4.81. When it comes to bowling in the second innings, the average drops almost half to 24.76 with a run rate of 4.18. It slows down, it's sunny there, and the spinners just take their toll. That's what won the game for India versus New Zealand. The spinners just came in and just slowed the whole game down. It's difficult to even score twos and threes. The boundaries are just dried up. So I think that's where it'll be again. If Australia cannot get runs up front in the power play, and once again we need to look at the game winners over there, in terms of Travis Head and those kinds of guys, I don't know if they will be able to claw it back. Travis Head is in the Indians' mind. He is a BNT player. He's one of those players that can win a match on his own. He's going to be vital, and then Maxwell in the middle order to take on the spinners, who has 141 strike rate against spinners in the last 2.5 years. He's actually got the highest strike rate. So if Maxwell can come off, if Travis Head can come off, we may see a surprise. Otherwise, I think India's probably going to take this one.
And then just finally, how does South Africa get past their nemesis in recent times, New Zealand? New Zealand have had one over us for quite some time now, so do we have the quality to be able to put them to the sword, especially now that we've seen that they are potentially vulnerable?
I'm probably going to put a curse on us now, but I think we're going to win it. I think our middle order is superior to theirs. They've got a long batting lineup. Jameson was batting number 10, who is a great all-rounder himself in the last game. But our middle order is firing. Klaassen has hit 5 50s in a row now, consecutive 50s. Rickleton, Bavuma and Rafi, I believe, will be the top order. And they will have to set the foundation. And a very, very vital thing, and we'll only know probably tomorrow, Wednesday, is whether Markram is fit. Mm. He had a hamstring problem and went for a fitness test today. Not only is he solid at number four, he's in great form, but he also gives us an extra option as a spinner. So his availability is going to be key.
And if it is an India versus South Africa final, it'll be a thriller minute final, and no doubt the South Africans will be looking for revenge. Always great to chat to you, Kevin Rademacher. Thanks so much for all your input on the show, for the many times we call upon you to give us your cricket expertise. You never disappoint us. Enjoy the cricket over the next few days, and we look forward to our next chat on the show.
Thank you very much, Michael. And the listeners, please put on your Protea shirt on Wednesday, and let's get behind the boys.